Landing Strip is the 348th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in. If you are tuning in here live, very much appreciate that. If you are live, you can log into your Google account or your YouTube account. That way you can chat along with us on the live chat right here on my old smartphone and, you know, just say hi, fact check us, talk shit, whatever. I'll see it and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. What are you doing?
Had something in there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be looking at that for the next 60 minutes, so I figured I'd try to clean it up a little.
All right. Thank you.
If you are not watching us live, what do they do?
Well, you can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio.
Mm-hmm.
Or just leave a comment down below.
Down where?
Down here! Yeah. All right.
And there goes our female viewer.
Yes. They came and then they went.
Sounds like guys.
Giggity.
Like me at least.
Giggity.
Giggity. So the last time our wrestle friend saw us.
It's gonna be one of those days.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol's talking already.
Yeah.
Last time our wrestle friends heard or saw from us, we broke down Takeover and Survivor Series.
That's right.
Any lasting impressions from that weekend?
That was a good weekend. I enjoyed the Takeover matches, or excuse me, the War Games matches. It was good.
It's been almost 3 weeks, so
yeah. Like, I seriously thought, like, why are we even gonna be talking about that? Because we've already talked about it, and you're like, no, we haven't. We haven't. Are you sure? Yeah, we haven't talked about it. And I was like, well, fuck. So help me out here.
You,
yes,
this space right here,
yes,
likes to be the resident homer,
right?
So tonight I'm gonna wear them shoes.
Ooh,
the smile from ear to ear for motherfucking Keith Lee. Oh yes. Man,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Like chicken soup for the wrestling soul. My man Keith, man, he was the star of the weekend for me.
Yeah,
he was killing people in the War Games match on Saturday. He powerbombed Roman Reigns damn near to hell on Sunday and got that babyface on babyface rub at the end after Roman did what Roman does.
Yeah.
So far, my front runner for match of the week for these weeks that we've been missing, Swervy Swerve, the women's War Games match.
Okay.
I was really not expecting what we got. The Dakota Kai thing, I kind of forgot about it when she ended up being on the team because Mia was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a breath of fresh air to see that match the way it happened. And then 4-on-2, I haven't watched all the WCW ones, but I know for a fact mostly all the NWA ones was always 4-on-4. Somehow it ended up 4-on-4. So yeah. For it to be 4-on-2 and Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae to be against the odds.
Yeah,
it told a great story. I was a big fan of it. Out of everything, I guess that goes back to my my flaw / redeemability is that out of everything on that card, that exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, I can see that. For
at least for Takeover.
Yeah, there's a bit in there that I want to co-sign on that you said, which was basically you had something that was going to be pretty predictable. Oh, Dakota Kai's going to do a heel turn, right? But somehow the odds were going to even and whatever. Well, no, that isn't what happened. It stayed 4-on-2.
Mm-hmm.
There was some bad bitches in there that were really just, you know, like 4-on-2, bring it.
Ooh,
and
EO.
Still, like
Bianca.
I wasn't expecting them to... I don't think I've seen that before. Like other types of elimination matches, whether it's WWF, WWE, WCW, TNA, where they had like these elimination style one man enters and then another thing, lethal lockdown, that kind of shit. I've never seen it where half the fucking team can't go because of sabotage on their own team because of a heel turn. Mm-hmm. Like I could see the heel turn happening, but then fucking Mia Yim showing up out of nowhere like, oh, I'm okay after all, guys, and fucking take out Dakota, and then she gets in there, and then the other one that got laid out, Tegan Knox, she gets in there, and it's still 4-on-4. That's not what happened in this match. So, yes, the story was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. It was different. It didn't follow the regular tropes that we would see in wrestling. So I agree with you that that match was pretty darn solid. I would say for that week, that could have been match of the week. I had an idea of what I thought match of the week would be before I sat down here and started talking with you. And you're like, yeah, we haven't done a show in like 3 weeks. I was like, really? Fuck. Like, I was just thinking this past week and I kind of had a pick there, but I don't know. Are we done talking about?
We're talking about War Games.
War Games. Okay.
Anything from Survivor Series that stands out?
I would like to say that my predictions were pretty much spot on. You know, NXT took it all. I said it was going to be a split between NXT and SmackDown, and Raw wasn't going to get anything. Well, that was almost exactly what happened. Yeah. Storyline-wise, that's exactly what happened. Numbers-wise, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But story, that's where they went. You know, like Raw, SmackDown, or excuse me, NXT and SmackDown were the big winners of the night, and Raw just kind of got the shit beat out of them, pretty much. And it was kind of cool to see that that happen. And I wonder, 3 weeks removed, if this is something that's going to sustain. I don't think it's sustained that much yet because we were riding that high of NXT, right? And it's kind of plateaued off. So it's not like, yeah, NXT is the best thing. At least not from Mark's side. I mean, from like WWE's production side. Like, they're still putting fucking effort in Raw. They're putting effort into SmackDown. TLC's about Raw and SmackDown. TLC's not about NXT, you know? And I thought, like, they were going to be like, okay, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown are all fucking there. They're the brand. Everything is even and equal. But I kind of am starting to feel that same feel that I had whenever SmackDown won Survivor Series a few years ago. And it was like, okay, SmackDown's the A show. Nah, it's still the B show. Like, you had your weekend, remember your place.
Next pay-per-view, it's like pre-show fodder. NXT right. is pre-show fodder.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know if that weekend lasting feeling of, oh shit, it's a new day. Yes, it is. And I don't mean pancakes and unicorns. I mean, it's a new day. Fuck. NXT is really on the come up. They're going to show and shine NXT, and they're going to treat it as a third brand. Now, that doesn't seem to be what they're doing. They're like, okay, you had your moment. Yeah. Like Ziggler, okay, here's your title. Yeah.
Guy
you know. Do you have something to say about Survivor Series, or I just steal all your words?
Not everything.
Okay.
Survivor Series, and I don't want to be that guy, but it's easy to be that guy. NXT made it a lot more palatable. It refreshed a stale idea. I think maybe there was one too many triple threat matches. Okay. Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole,
baby,
was fun. The women, I think, overall stepped their game up the entire weekend. Like, yeah. I was seeing some stuff that I wasn't expecting from a lot of the women. It caught my attention. They're starting to play off a couple of things that happened through Survivor Series. The whole Orton McIntyre kind of the middle of Orton, like trying to fight off the OC. Like, are we gonna get to the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing with Drew and Randy, or is it gonna be that this is what we need to feed it before we get Randy versus McIntyre at Rumble, maybe?
Right.
Same thing with stuff going along with the women. But yeah, just I think it's December. It's a combination of things. December, there's always something to do around December. Family, getting out, Christmas parties, Christmas shopping, all that stuff. And sometimes just don't want to watch TV. And wrestling fans, I think now we've already been accustomed to, like, Survivor Series is like the last big thing of the year. December is, and then we wake up January 4th, and then the whole thing starts over again.
Although, you know? December is when WWE likes to fucking experiment with shit.
Yeah.
That being said, you had a very passionate opinion on our preview show about a certain match. That passionate opinion was about the match of Rey Mysterio that if Rey Mysterio didn't get beat in 3 seconds flat, then that's a slap in the face to Kofi Kingston. What did you think of Rey Mysterio versus Brock? Brock Lesnar.
I have to say it wasn't as short as I wanted it to be, you know, because
he
took a breath and he was still in the match. But it was quick.
Giggity!
It told the right story, I think, to cap the whole thing off. You know, Ray went, like, his match started. Ray went right for the pipe. He knows he didn't have a chance in hell of beating Brock toe to toe.
Right.
And then even his kid came along and tried to do his real dad's move, you know, the frog splash and shit.
His real dad's move.
And both of them together, and even the both of them couldn't beat him, and then Brock beat the shit out of both of them and called it a day and went home, had a steak, and with a side of cow. Like, that was the way it happened. I mean, it was fast enough. I mean, that was me kind of, like, over-exaggerating a bit, you know, even though a part of me still thinks Kofi's gotten the shaft for the rest of this. But we'll get to that at our end-of-the-year episode in a few weeks. But I think the part that bothered me more is that Raw has suddenly gone back to, okay, we got part-time champ. Let's all fight for the second belt that we didn't know we'd had until now that Rock's gone. Oh, wait, there's another piece of the pie here. It's not that big, and it's not that fresh. Yeah. It's not that tasty, but it's still pie. I want it. So
yeah. I kind of like that Seth kind of brought that up. You know, I was the one who brought the title back to where it's supposed to be. I was like, technically, that title is supposed to always be there. You don't need to bring it back from somewhere with Brock has it, but I like that he kind of addressed it. Yeah. Do you want to talk about Seth?
Go for it. Arnold would hate us if we didn't talk about his boyfriend. So
this is true.
So go have at it.
I think I've made this clear that I've been of the opinion that the recent hate for Seth Rollins amongst the IWC is unwarranted. Yeah, he says some stupid shit on Twitter, but he apologized, he rescinded it, and just because it's him and Becky, just because they're together doesn't mean you should hate on him. Still like Becky. And Seth, I'm like, yeah,
you're okay. I wonder how long that fan love's going to last. I mean, that's why Becky's been off TV for a while.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, but like, I don't hate them just because they're together. Like, I remember seeing a lot of fan hate because, oh, now they're putting it in our face. It's like, no, they're not. They, like, hid it for weeks, if not months, before somebody found it out, and they're like, okay, well, yeah, we're together. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, That wasn't their intention at all, but like, you're really fucking real. I think it's just that you're jealous that they're together.
Yeah.
And you're not with them. Fucking perverts.
Would you want to be with?
Why not? Which one? Both.
2020. Don't judge.
Yes. I've seen what Seth is packing.
It's funny all this talk about. All these wrestling fans want Seth against CM Punk for WrestleMania. I would be pleasantly surprised / confused as fuck if we get Seth Rollins versus Becky Lynch.
What? 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 Seth versus Becky.
One's the bad guy. One's the good guy. The good guy's asking the bad guy, but why? The whole soapy, all this crap with Lana, all the fans and the popular fans and the girls eating that up. The girls would be all over Becky, heartbroken that her boyfriend's actually the villain. Like fucking Anakin turning into Darth. And Becky's like, what the fuck, bro? And actually them having it out. Star Wars reference comes out next week.
Okay. I don't think WWE would do that.
No.
I think they'll just keep them separated. Like whenever Steph and Triple H, one was a heel, one was a face, all of a sudden they just weren't married.
Yeah.
You know, like they're married, but we just don't talk about it.
She's just making a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Look at AEW. You got Cody, Superface, and Brandy is being like this heel.
Sexy heel.
Sexy heel.
Woo!
But you don't see them come out together anymore. And I mean, Cody made a little reference in jest, I think a couple of weeks ago, but that was it. Yeah. They may as well not be married anymore as far as like TV goes, you know? But it's because one's a face and one's a heel, so you gotta kind of, you know, separate them out.
Did WWE make the right decision by pulling Seth as a heel that when they did?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
How much more of unwanted babyface next generation Roman did you want out of Seth? Of him trying to be the good guy and nobody buying it anymore.
Yeah. That's the upside.
Does he need like
that? That's the upside. Because you're not gonna have another Cena, you're not gonna have another Roman. But
does he need like lupus?
What's
for the fans to cheer for him again and he leaves for a month or mono?
I don't know, man. I mean,
clap.
Seth is a good wrestler. Out of the wrestlers that are on main roster WWE, because I don't want to include NXT with that, he's probably the best or tied with the best or at least top five, top three. Like, you throw AJ Styles in there. All right, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins. Okay, who else? Maybe Kevin Owens?
That was my next guess, Kevin Owens.
You know, like those. Maybe Ziggler you can have an argument for. Maybe Cesaro you can have an argument for. Just talking about wowing the crowd wrestling ability, right? But, I mean, it's so weird that he's this damn good, but everybody's treating him as though he's Cena or Roman, you know?
I'm kind of hoping – I was actually hoping that Seth turned into, like, NXT Bo Dallas, where in his mind, he was the superhero. In his mind, he was the best to ever wear the NXT championship.
Yeah.
And nobody fucking bought it.
Yeah.
But that played more into his character, and he soaked that up and made it more egregious that instead that he's not Thanos, he's Iron Man. But he's still snapping the fucking fingers anyway and killing people.
Right.
You know?
Man, and that makes me so fucking – okay. You talked about Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas, his run being the – heel who thinks he's a babyface, who thinks he's a hero. That's kind of like a variant of wrestling tropes that we see. Main roster WWE doesn't like to use the variants. That's what their problem is. I so totally 100% fucking wish that Seth wasn't in AOP's fucking truck. Mm-hmm. That Seth was telling the fucking truth. He had nothing to do with AOP. You know, like I wanted that to be the
and
truth.
And still, nobody trusts me. Now I don't give a fuck about your opinion. I'm going to do me. Yeah. Y'all do you.
Make that worse for his psyche. That would have been a variant. But the fact that, haha, I lied. I got you. Like, I really have the AOP in my corner. It's disappointing.
The architect's opinion.
It's disappointing on not only the storyline of Seth, because predictable, boring, cowardly heel getting fucking big beefy muscle backup, and it's really fucking boring and bullshit on AOP's side.
And ugly.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space here. Put your arms down. Like, you're blowing your budget on fucking Dio, man. Just, it's all right to put your arms down and your shoulders down, you know?
Like, you had months of vignettes with them talking in their own language, which was cool, and just being intimidating just to be the lackey of Seth. Why? Because Seth called him out the Raw after Survivor Series because he didn't do shit? It's weak sauce, bro. Like they could be fucking out there rampaging because they felt insulted, and they're like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to prove it to you that I am this good. And that could have been something enough to just push them on their own. You didn't have to stick them with Seth. And you have the evolved J&J security with Seth now. It's like, how many backups is Seth going to need? You know, J&J security, the Shield, and now AOP. It's like, he's too good of a wrestler to always need backups.
The only bright side to that is if this feud with Kevin Owens persists and Kevin Owens defeats the Beast Slayer and decides that he wants to go after the Beast at WrestleMania.
Again? Get his ass whooped again?
Kevin Owens has never wrestled Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he did. He got his ass whooped, didn't he?
No.
You sure?
Yeah. Positive. Kevin Owens got beat by Goldberg. Goldberg lost the belt to Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
That's what you're thinking about. Okay. That's what you're thinking about. Yeah.
Goldberg was a transitional champ.
All right, so it's nice that we're actually talking about this because we've had 3 weeks to let stuff marinate, and you've highlighted the stuff on Raw. Do you think, storyline-wise, they're giving us enough to hook us to buy Roman finally post-chemo or post-cancer
Yeah.
as a babyface? Like, are you as a wrestling fan willing to accept it and give it a shot? I think you have been for the most part before, but I don't know if where you're at now.
Myself, probably so. I don't think the IWC will follow suit. Again, I'm kind of like, I don't see the reason for the hate for Seth, but they're also kind of fumbling his storyline too at the same time. So I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards like, oh, fucking Seth. But I don't hate him, you know? So I'm willing to give more of a shot to Roman, but I also feel like, man, Vince rode Hogan's dick. Vince rode Cena's dick.
He's well, goddamn pal.
He's gonna
running wild.
He's gonna ride Roman's dick, but he didn't ride Brett's dick. He didn't ride Sean's dick. You know, the other people
kind of rode it a little for Sean,
a little bit,
but there was enough.
They allowed him at some point to turn heel. He never allowed Hogan to turn heel. He never allowed Cena to turn heel. Brett, Sean, okay, you guys can kneel back and forth because I don't really care about
Mixon, Taker, Mixon, Diesel. Yeah, there was still a lot of options.
Yeah, these are my pet projects. These are my toys. They're always going to be baby faces because I like them. Yeah. But these guys, yeah, they're over. Yeah, they make money. Yeah, they sell merch. But heel turn, face Roman. Turn, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. So it's like I think he's gonna do that with Roman because I think he treats Roman the same way in his eyes Vince does as Cena and as Hogan. So
he got fed dog food last Friday. Dog food.
That was just.
And at one moment during the whole handcuffing thing, it kind of looked like a little bit of a crucifixion of Vince's hero or the hero of our big dog or whatever, that they're actually trying to make an effort. And as much as I like Corbin, I can kind of tell he's kind of just holding this in.
I don't like Corbin. I really, no. This stuff with Corbin is just terrible.
Ever since King of the Ring?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
You can tell, right?
Bad. I hate it. I hate this.
Tell me something about SmackDown you liked then. It's been 3 weeks.
Did SmackDown happen? I don't even know. What's going on with SmackDown? Who's doing what? Please help me out here.
It's hard to say, to be honest. I haven't been watching consistently Raw or SmackDown straight in like weeks. And there's been so much wrestling going on that it's like I forget.
Okay.
I do see John Morrison's back.
Right. He's not back on like the main roster yet, right? Because he just did like a network special or something.
He was on the bump.
Right.
There's better WWE programming that does not involve a weekly wrestling show. Like WWE Backstage,
yeah,
it's candid, it's open. The table for three with the last table for three they just did with the three guys from Impact, where they literally dive into Impact with it was
I didn't know that.
AJ, Sting, and Jeff Jarrett. Like WWE morning show type of thing called The Bump, where they had John Morrison on as a guest. Mm-hmm. And they spent the first 10 minutes talking about his run in Lucha Underground and in Impact. And his opponents throughout that he's already wrestled Samoa Joe and Drew McIntyre and freaking Ricochet and all everybody. And that's something you don't expect, something with the WWE logo in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, so that like I'm recycling 5 hours of weekly television into 2 hours of stuff that is probably giving me everything I think I need.
So I haven't watched any of The Bump at all. I did watch.
It's on Facebook, so I'll watch it during my lunch break for like 20 or 30 minutes. Oh, it's on the network?
No,
it's a Facebook stream.
Oh, okay. But I did watch the first, second, and third episodes of Backstage. Was that the first, second, and third? The one before Punk, the one with Punk, the one after Punk.
When you say the one with Punk, where he showed up at the end?
The one where he showed up at the end. Okay. Then the one where he actually was a part of the show.
I'm talking about and Rollins and shit.
And the one where he wasn't part of the show.
The like, next one. Where the Rollins next one was after. On.
Yeah. So, I don't like the fact that Punk isn't going to always be on the show.
I didn't like that either, but at the same time,
I felt a little bait and switch. I mean, I guess you could say that's just me being greedy because I wanted to see him Punk. But, you know, there was a lively conversation in our chat with me, you, Scott the Scott, and Travis.
Oh, man, Travis.
Where you know, all this was going on with him calling out Seth, and Travis was like, oh, I guess that means it's going to be Seth versus Punk. And I was like, I don't want to see Seth versus Punk.
I don't either.
And he was like, oh, so I guess
you... Liars, just, as soon as he comes on TV, you're going to be all fucking... Yeah.
It's like, oh, you say fuck CM Punk now. And I was like, I don't say fuck CM Punk. Oh, yeah, I guess you hate him now. No, I don't hate him. Same with how I don't hate Undertaker, but I didn't want Undertaker to continue wrestling after 20-0. But, like, I don't want to see Punk at this stage now wrestling anymore. I think him being on backstage on a consistent weekly basis is the absolute best fucking thing you could do. Let him have a live fucking microphone where he can openly criticize the product. That first episode where he was on there the full length, they did a lot of like interview him. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? This and that. And I was like, okay, come on, get to roasting Vince. Right. And he didn't roast Vince, but he roasted, Seth. And then who was the other guy at the very end he roasted that was like Dan Arnold or something?
Oh, whoever. Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold, yeah. He roasted him.
Which and, was, that, and that which Women's cool. Revolution hashtag.
Yeah. Which, that was cool, but yeah. I'm still like waiting to exhale with him. You know, I'm like, okay, I really want more. Give me a little bit more. And then the next week, he just didn't
show up. Nothing. Like, and then the week after that, nothing.
And then I guess this week. And then
yesterday he was there.
Wait, it was yesterday?
Or okay. Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Okay, there. It's not on Thursdays. I thought it was Tuesday. It's on Tuesdays? Yeah, Tuesday. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah. I haven't watched this week's episode. But like
he does a detailed story. He books the rest of the Lana Rusev Lashley where it ends up that that they become buddies. And so Lana hires two guys to fight them and it becomes a loser gets Lana. Type thing.
Loser gets Lana.
Yeah, because yeah, it was kind of weird.
Loser has to take Lana. Yeah.
But
fine, I'll guess. Yeah, fine. There you go.
I was about to lose my train of thought there. I think the whole thing when we had the conversation earlier with Travis and Scott was the part that I kind of like had a self-realization, you know, because I wasn't thinking about it in the moment. So after I started typing the stuff out and then deleting and then retyping and then deleting and then typing once more and sending it, you know, it's not that I don't hate Punk. It's not that I don't want to watch him come back. It's twofold. One, I've made peace with it.
Right.
I made peace with it. I'm there. Like within 6 months after the incident happened and I heard the Colt Cabana podcast at least two or three times, I made peace with it. I wasn't chanting CM Punk when the show was boring. I literally was on this show calling people out that were caught doing that during the show. And we finally got to the point in some cities that they stopped doing it.
Right.
The other reason is the difference of optics. You know, Brock Lesnar left. He went to UFC. He beat Randy Couture. He beat Frank Mir after he tapped out to Frank Mir the first fight, which he did a lot more impressive than a lot of MMA fans thought.
Yeah.
You know, and then he came back with some pedigree, you know, and then he even went back and fought James Hunt and beat him until.
No, it was Mike. Mike?
Mark.
Mark.
Mark Hunt.
Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt. Now Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
Mark Hunt.
Yeah. And then they rescinded the fight because Brock tested positive, which I forgot the details. I think fans would probably turn on Punk faster than they turned on Seth this year. Because why? What did Punk do? He went two fights, didn't
scrubbed
win anything.
Rubbed out on both.
Didn't win anything. As an MMA fan, several MMA fans thought that he even, again, just like Brock, he did a lot better than he was meant to be against Mickey Gall the first time. And the second time just flamed out. So it's like fans will notice, or it just takes one promo from somebody shooting on him being, yeah, you couldn't do a goddamn thing for real, so you over here now. You know, and all, and then.
See, and that's.
And I don't want to see that.
That's the difference between Brock and Punk. Brock brought credibility crossover both between UFC and WWE, as much as, you know, we want to bitch about it now. Yeah. Now it's really more about the way that they book him. But back then it was like, oh, this fucking wrestler thinks he could get in the octagon. And then he did and like won a bunch of shit, you know? Yeah. So it was like, okay, you know what? I'm pretending to be an MMA fan. You know what, wrestling fan? All right, cool.
Well,
this guy's legit. But all that fucking ha-ha that they wanted to do, that they couldn't do with Brock, they can do with Punk if Punk gets back in the ring.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, this fucking guy is wrestling again? Yeah, because he couldn't make it in MMA. Oh, yeah, let's go to our MMA circle jerk. Oh.
He's you know? Boned both ways. If he sticks to the same style he did before he left, oh, it's the same old shit. If he goes and brings some real legit MMA style to his fight game.
Well, he couldn't do that.
Oh, that shit that nobody he could beat nobody with. And I don't want to hear that shit. Yeah. There's already enough crap in wrestling that I try to tune out. I don't want to have to tune out Punk.
And I get that's your point. My point of view is I don't want to see Michael Jordan number 45 playing for the Wizards.
Yeah, that was weird.
Michael Jordan
wanted the Raptors.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. Fucking Ed Reed on the Texans. Like, no. Oh, it was just bad. It was bad. I think I got honked at by Clyde the Glide Drexler today.
You got in a fender bender with Clyde, because there's no other reason why that man would honk.
It wasn't a fender bender. I was at work. I was getting out of a car that I just put somebody in a rental in there at the place. And Drexler, who was the talk of the fucking workplace because everybody was like, hey, man, we got Clyde's car here. We're going to put some new tires on it. Oh, we need to order these tires because he needs special tires on his car. Well, see, I didn't know that they had finished the work and his car was there. But anyway, I get out of the car and I start walking back towards the building, walking across the parking lot. And another renter was like, hey, come over here. So I like stop in the middle of the parking lot. I'm like, what? I start walking the other way. So I was in front of, unbeknowing to me, Clyde the Glide Drexler's car for more time than it should normally be. Because I was like, huh?
Oh, okay.
And then when I'm like blocking his fucking way, and I was like, the fuck? What? Who was that? Anyway, I was like, all right, that's a tall man. Okay, who the fuck is that? Anyway, I was like, yes, ma'am, what you need? Right? When I walked back in, they're like, dude, you just got honked at by Clyde the Glide Drexler. And I was like, what? That was Clyde? Fuck, man, I never got to see his car. I didn't get to see him when he came in the first time. I didn't get to see him when he fucking picked up the car, and I didn't get to see him the entire time. But I get honked at because I was in his way.
Oh, I slam a jamma.
I was in Clyde the Glide Drexler's way and got honked at. Damn.
You want to get into some news?
Sure.
You would have thought wrestlers would have learned by now after Jericho's AEW title was misplaced.
Yeah.
Somebody else's title was misplaced. Walter. Yeah. So who did it better? Jericho turned it into a huge fucking manhunt online that turned into like huge media shit. Walter wrestled an indie event that weekend barefoot in his underwear. Still won.
He did.
And got the faciest of face reactions for doing what he did, how he did it.
God damn it. God damn it. I didn't know this information.
I just saw the video like 3 minutes before he went live. Like
in his trunks or in his tiny whiteies?
Tidy blackies. Da 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 da.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think it's been found yet. The belt, not his tidy blackies. Oh,
I thought you meant the footage.
Chicago, man.
Oh, Lord.
It's a lion's den there.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy.
Surprisingly, people keep going back. AEW's next pay-per-view is in Chicago.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts. I mean, I like the way Jericho handled it, but the story has a happy ending. The story still isn't done yet, I guess, with Walter. So yeah. I hope this has a happy ending and we can laugh about it, like, oh, yeah, the wrestle of his tiny whiteies, you know.
That's going to suck for Walter, though, because he's not.
Tiny blackies, sorry.
It's not like fucking like me and my nephews, they're built like houses, but I'm wide enough if I need spare clothes. Like, who is Walter gonna bum spare clothes off of, bro? It's not like Kevin Nash is gonna be randomly walking down the street with a backpack. It's like, oh, I got some
Levi's. He's not as big as Kevin Nash. I got some
501s for you.
He's not that big. Oh Lord, that's hilarious. I don't know. Time will tell on this, but I didn't know that. That was funny.
Tell the viewers what you thought of Impact Throwback.
So I know this isn't our end of the year episode.
Oh shit!
But I would like to nominate this show for Show of the Year.
Event of the Year?
Event of the Year, Show of the Year, okay. whatever we want to call it.
Defend yourself, sir.
This needs to be watched. Y'all have to watch this. Now, if you are a longtime wrestling fan, if you been around the block, 80s, 90s, all that, you know, you're a connoisseur of wrestling, you'll get it. Because it's basically a two-hour inside joke. It's just funny. So think Southpaw Regional Wrestling, how much y'all loved Southpaw, but throw in actual wrestling as though it was an actual episode of closed circuit TV in one of the provinces in Canada for a local indie wrestling promotion that's on the come up. They invented the double axe handle on this show. The double axe handle was invented on this show. The DDT was invented on this show.
Jake Roberts was on the show?
Somebody else did it.
But fake news.
What kind of maneuver was that? I don't know. It dropped him right on his head. Oh, God. He's laid out like he just ate some DDT.
My mother calls it the alley-oop.
It wasn't quite that way. And just for the
she told me from heaven she wants us to win. I'll burn your fucking house down.
There's two promos that really, really need to be watched. One is a promo with the Rough Riders. It was Jordynne Grace.
I knew it was the girls, yeah.
Tessa Blanchard.
Oh,
Jessica Havoc.
Oh,
and the new little one that I don't know her name. And they came out as the Rough Riders, which was kind of a spoof on the Four Horsemen.
Tessa had to have come up with that.
The promo was hilarious. Oh, God. That was so the best thing. The other promo that is must watch is the promo of Rhino as Frank the Butcher. And Doug, if you want to jump territories and come over here so we can wreck shop. And like, oh, fuck. Like. Yeah, because he's reprising his role from Southpaw, but he's playing it as though he jumped territories. It's great. It's hilarious. I fucking loved it. Top to bottom, that show was just, you sit back, you watch it, you laugh. Me and Porsche, we were laughing our asses off even on the second viewing. When Randy was watching it, now Randy is a newer wrestling fan. She's been a wrestling fan for as long as she's known me. So
about, she doesn't know about all these other eras.
Yeah, so not quite a decade, a little bit more than half a decade. She doesn't know about all the old school stuff. She was like, huh, okay, you know. But like the cheesiness and the hokiness of how bad the ring announcing was, how bad the commentary was, how bad the interviews that were standing right there next to the stage was. Imagine NWA Power, but they're doing it tongue in cheek.
Gotcha.
It's must watch, man. I want to put that on my Show of the Year list when we do our end of the year episode.
Okay.
I will leave the rest to the viewers and to you guys.
First impressions of the NWO. And Dave Bautista being announced as co-headliners for next year's WWE Hall of Fame ceremony in Tampa.
Okay, I'll give you my reaction to one and then to the other. My reaction to NWO was, wait, they weren't already in? Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess. My reaction to Bautista is like, yeah, sure, okay. Those are my reactions. Like, Bautista, yeah.
At some point,
you're going to induct him. May as well induct him now. What better year than this year versus any other year? Is he a Hall of Famer? Coco Beware's a Hall of Famer. Sure. Why the fuck not? Okay. NWO? Yeah. I like, oh, shit. They're not in there.
Are you satisfied with Hogan, Paul, Nash, and Waltman being the only ones from the NWO being inducted?
No. No.
What would you change?
I would anybody that fucking wore a black and
are you serious?
Black and white or black and red shirt. Yeah.
Or silver in. And black?
Yeah, you're fucking in.
Brett.
It's
Jerry.
It's Steiner. The NWO.
Luger.
It's Sting. The NWO. You're
K-Dog! Arriba la raza!
Well, not LWO.
No, Conan was
in
LWO.
Oh, yeah, he was in LWO. Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And like, the reason why is because you included fucking China in DX, you know? So, yeah. If you induct the Horseman, I think you need to include Mongo.
Malenko.
Benoit. You need to include all the fucking Horsemen.
Benoit.
Well, I mean, Benoit's not going to walk up on the stage, right? But like, he could be on.
But in the book.
In the book. In the footnote.
That's how Benoit gets.
That's how he gets in.
That's how he gets in.
That's how he gets in with the Horsemen. So I think it should, because part of the appeal of the NWO wasn't just the outsiders and Hogan, right? Well, okay, Sean Waltman. Okay, fine. Fuck you. But no, like
DiBiase.
Buff Bagwell, Scott Norton, Virgil.
Scott Norton.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, and Macho. Macho was a part of NWO too. So was fucking Elizabeth. All of the NWO should be in there. But don't do it to where it's like, okay, well, you get to be a two-time Hall of Famer. No. I think you should really do factions and then, you know, individuals. So I think the divide there should be a little bit bigger. I know Ric Flair likes to talk about it, two-time Hall of Famer, but really he's a one-time Hall of Famer, and the entity of the Four Horsemen, which he is part of, is a Hall of Fame. The entity of NWO should be in there. The appeal with NWO was just how fucking ridiculous it got and how
three limousines long, 50 guys come out.
How dominating they were for that storyline with WCW versus NWO. Like, it was half of the fucking roster. That's why it was so fucking ridiculous. And that's why it was so like, God, I gotta fucking watch this. Who's in the NWO now? You know?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, there's somebody I don't recognize.
Scott the Scott! I recognize him.
I recognize Scott the Scott. I'm guessing this is Genie. Genie, what's up? Thank you. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
No.
No?
Not yet.
I am?
I'm just guessing.
What does Scott say? China was way more important to DX than all the rejects in the NWO.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know what?
But, okay, is Sean Waltman more important than Macho in the NWO?
My first impression of the NWO is always going to be Hogan, Hall, and Nash. Bash at the Beach.
Okay.
95. Whatever year. Bash at the Beach, 95 or 96. I forget. Fucking wrestling. Oh. If there has to be a fourth, Bischoff.
Yeah.
You know?
Bischoff himself. Why not?
But, there's the problem because, like, there's enough guys like Waltman. I think I would have inducted him in the Hall of Fame as himself long before this past year that DX got involved, because of DX, because of NWO, because of 1-2-3 Kid, you know. And okay. I would have just had him in
because
there.
He ripped his asshole on the Indies
several times, Scott Steiner. Dude,
yeah, Steiner.
He deserves his
Steiner just and on Buff.
His, you would think
Rick.
You would think things on your resume are what get you in, not actually induct things that are on the resume. You know, so I never understood why the Four Horsemen was in the Hall of Fame. Tully deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, partly because of the Four Horsemen. Mm. So does freaking Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, Barry Windham, you know. Has Mongo McMichael done enough other than the NW, other than no. To be in there? No, but at least
he should be part of the faction.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why induct factions?
Because you can't do that as an entity. Yeah. So they're using the entities as a backdoor way to get some other people in there and say, hey, this guy's all in favor. But no, they should do entities.
You don't think China deserved to be in on her own merits?
Yes, I do. I very much so do. But DX,
regardless that she's in porn,
DX does was. Too.
Well, I mean, that's not bad.
Sometimes you gotta have a night in China,
or two,
another night in China. Hi.
So what's your match of the week?
This week?
Overall.
Man, I don't want to include the fucking war game stuff because that's just too easy to just say the war game stuff.
Then what's the competition? Is there a match in the last three weeks better than war game?
I'll say there's a match in the last week. Leo Rush versus Angel Garza.
I need to fucking watch that. It happened yesterday.
Dude.
And the feeds that I use to pirate the show because I watch AW Live were all gone. So I heard. Enlighten me. Oh. Preach. It's Sunday morning on Channel 20. Preach.
As much as I grew a disdain for Leo Rush because of his idiocracies that he did and because of the whack-ass storyline and character that he had with the Lashley, but this turned me around on him. I am now a fan of Leo Rush. I like the fact that in NXT they said, hey, let's forget this bullshit fucking gimmick that Vince gave you. I hope you learned your lessons about tweeting wrong things. So now we're going to take you serious, okay? Go out there and show the world why we hired you and be a good fucking wrestler. And that's what he did. And Angel Garza was a good fucking wrestler in that match.
Great. He's already is a great wrestler. Second generation?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they both proved to me why they should be there in that cruiserweight match. Holy fuck, that match was amazeballs. I like the counters back and forth, them trying to use each other's finishers. Angel Garza tried to do the come up, that was great. The wing clipper that Leo tried to do, cool. I like that they were doing that kind of shit, you know. I didn't know who was gonna win. There was a lot of back and forth. Angel coming out with the win and new cruiserweight champion. Oh fuck!
Arriba!
It was great. I loved it. It was amazing.
Suggestion?
Yes.
The rematch needs to be on the Royal Rumble card.
Okay.
Not pre-show.
On the card itself.
On the card itself.
Okay.
I think if you are not the only person I've read online that has been raving about that match, which is why I'm so frustrated. And again, Arnold, watch these three things only out of 9 hours of WWE in the last week. Just watch these three things. And the top one was that match. And every place I could try to find it, I couldn't find it.
Now, so, if we want to go back 3 weeks, because, I mean, since we're not doing weekly shows, we don't really have a match of the week. So it makes kind of, but if we want to go back to Survivor Series weekend, the women's War Games match, and also the men's War Games match. Again, being a homer for Keith Lee. Fuck, that was great. It was a great showing for him. I don't know which one of those two I like better.
The only candidates besides the women's match that I can come up with, I think it was last week, last Friday. Not last Friday, the Friday before. Not the Friday where Roman ate dog food. The Friday before, there was a Fatal 4-Way Elimination Tag Match.
Yes.
Revival, Lucha House Party, Heavy Machinery, and Ali and Gable. That was fucking good.
Gable.
It was fucking...
Not Shorty G.
And it was Mustafa and Gable and Revival were the last two.
Yeah.
And that shit was good, man. Six-man tag on AEW television a few weeks ago. The Young Bucks... And the old buck, Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah,
against, that was cool. Against Inner Circle. That was some good shit, too.
Last night's tag team match from AEW is pretty good. The Bucks versus Santana and
I think Ortiz. Matt Jackson had the flu.
Oh, did he?
Still wrestled that shit.
I didn't know he had the flu. Oh, shit. That makes it even more impressive. It was a really good fucking match.
But I would think my match of the week, plural, would probably be War Games, the women's War Games
match. Shut up, Scott. Women's War Games?
Women's War Games, yeah.
So was Arnold's.
Arnold's match of the week was Women's War Games.
Were you so inclined to make it anything more?
The one thing that I've done the past week other than watch wrestling is listen to wrestling. And by listen, I mean I listened to last year's end of the year review.
Oh.
That we recorded, three of us. And Arnold was steadfast in saying that 2019 would be the year that we would have another women's match on our match of the year. Oh. So I would hate for to be like kind of throwing them a bone, because you're not even like 3 weeks from ago, I was foaming at the mouth, and 3 weeks later, I'm still like, it has not escaped me. That was one of the very few things in wrestling that was different from everything else that I've seen. And I've seen NWA, I've seen AEW, I've seen NXT. I've watched a couple of matches from Raw, a couple of matches from SmackDown. And that's the only thing that stood out to me.
Yeah.
So I would make that my match of the week. But I would hate to be, for the sake of doing it, just putting it on there.
Okay.
You know, and then like if we do the freaking, like we do the show and it's like the bottom of the list and we're like, oh, the women are bad. So
I don't know why this match made it onto our match of the year list. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which we're still going to have some of that regardless of who's going to be our third, if we have a third, our next show, because they haven't voted on everything anyway.
Yeah.
But my match of the week is the women's war games match.
Okay. That's respectable.
Yeah.
Maybe once we get a one-on-one definite, you know, this is for all the marbles, high profile, no bullshit, no shenanigans, Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler.
That's next week.
And if Shayna loses, I mean, that's a recipe for a match of the year. I mean, they got to put it in between the bells. But
you know what?
You're getting yourself set up for it.
I think one match that might be getting set up for it, not for this year though, would probably be the main event for Impact. Tessa Blanchard against Sami Callihan for the men's World Heavyweight Championship.
For the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, if she pulls that out and the story's as good, if not better, than the last match that they had on pay-per-view, shit, it's going to be hard for you to like wash the Kool-Aid out of my mouth. You know, it's one thing because we say it a lot with the women's divisions, for the most part, have really stepped their game up and left a lot of guys in the dust, you know, but it's not reflective on our list.
That's true. It's not reflective on our list. That's sad. Because they've done really, really well. Yeah. I think some of the quality of the women's matches we have this year are better than maybe 2 years ago when we had Sasha versus Bayley on the match of the year list. Yeah.
This Friday, well, tomorrow, Ring of Honor's biggest pay-per-view of the year. We're not going to talk about it. Because you have not been watching. I have watched very little, if any. The only thing that I'm curious about is I have been following along through third party and other channels the falling of the Kingdom. Oh. You know, Vincent turned on his friend Matt Taven. So apparently the whole heel thing with Taven as heavyweight champion didn't work. Mm-hmm. And so now we're trying to turn him baby again. And Vincent turned on him and got his axe and actually like ugh. It was fucking gross, dude. That's like, yeah, that's got my attention, you know, Taven, mm-hmm. friend of the show. We've had him on a couple times.
It's been such a long time
but damn, dude. Again, we're not doing the end of the year till next episode, but man, I think my biggest disappointment of the year, among a couple of other things, might be the downward spiral of Ring of Honor.
Ooh, girl.
Girlfriend, let me tell you, I was in New York City where they sold out Madison Square fucking Garden, and now they can't even sell 800 tickets to their biggest show of the year. Calendar-wise, Final Battle's always been their biggest show.
And that's also disappointing, too. Again, the Homer element, Shane spent so much time, you know? Shane Taylor, I mean, you know, so it's like, ah, fuck.
He's defending the ROH TV title against fucking Dragon Lee. I'm at an 8 for that. I want to watch that.
Yeah.
But one match on a card does not make a pay-per-view worth money.
Yeah.
Especially if you're still asking $40, $50 for a pay-per-view.
Ooh.
You know, NWA had a pre-sale going on that ended last Monday where you could pre-order for 20 bones.
Oh.
Had I not had plans this Saturday, I would have spent that and watched that here.
Okay.
Like, I'm a lot more interested into the fire. But, damn, dude. Ring of Honor, what happened? You know?
Yeah.
You're losing fans. The whole Taven experiment failed completely. Your pay-per-views, your ROH pay-per-views are drawing 800, 700 people after you sold out Madison Square Garden. regardless if New Japan was in it. You were involved just as much as New Japan was. That's your show as much as New Japan's was. You know, and then the whole falling out with Kelly Klein. Mm-hmm. There's a women's match on here, but there's no women's championship being defended. You're not going to address the situation. You're not going to look at the elephant in the room and say, we're going to put that back in its cage. Nada? No? Nah. Sad, man.
Scott the Scott says AEW happened.
Yeah? Yeah. ROH is like, yeah, let's show you how to do this. Okay, we'll take some of your players. Bye.
Yeah.
NWA Into the Fire happens this Saturday.
Woo!
It's going to be odd.
Why?
Because like Paul Heyman to ECW, your biggest asset became your biggest detriment. I don't know if I want to – I don't know if NWA is going to have the same soundtrack without James Cornette.
Okay.
Well, Jim Cornette. You know, Stu Bennett's replacing him. Wade Barrett. Dude,
going back to IPWF, man.
Oh, shit.
Fucking
Sammy Callahan with the racket.
Dressed up like Jim Cornette. Fuck, dude. That was so great.
Man, there's some good matches on here. Eli Drake against Mr. Anderson. Rematch for the tag titles. Wild card get a shot at the belts that they had that currently are being held by Rock and Roll Express. Let me repeat that. The Rock and Roll Express. Yes. Colt Cabana. Aaron Stevens, who was Sandow, and Ricky Starks.
Oh, cool.
Hometown.
Yeah.
Triple threat for the NWA National Championship. And then 2 out of 3 falls, Nick Aldis against James Storm. Sorry about your damn luck. I'm at a 7 for the show.
Sorry about your damn booking. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm at a 7 for this show.
I've really soured on James Storm.
You've never really been the biggest fan of James Storm. You tolerated him, but you were never like, oh, man, I got to see James Storm.
Yeah. Like,
you were indifferent. Now you're just like, oh.
AMW, I'm like, okay. Beer Money, I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny. And then him on his own, and then him with that little cult with, you know, all the people wearing blue masks and shit. I was like, ugh. Then his run in
NXT. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
his like one time appearance in NXT. Well, like, I don't know. James Storm, like,
question.
Yes.
If you had the money,
oh shit,
would you rather purchase Ring of Honor? The trademarks, the pay per view names, everything. Would you rather invest that money in taking the controlling stake or complete stake of Ring of Honor or TNA, Impact, whatever, that out?
Do you mean all the historical stuff?
Everything.
Or power to book going forward?
No, everything.
So both?
Yeah.
Everything.
If you want to shut it down, or if you want to shut it down and just absorb it to WWE, or if you want to keep it running as a fourth developmental.
Damn, that's tough. Right now, AEW is definitely the better. Or AEW. Right now, Impact is definitely the better product. Mm. Definitely. Historically, man, those old McGinnis versus Bryan Danielson tapes.
McGinnis, Danielson,
Joe,
Punk, some early style stuff.
What? Yeah, you got Joe and Punk on the, you know, and a little bit of, I don't know, man. Styles, it. Fuck it. Impact. I'm going Impact.
Yeah?
I'm going Impact. The X Division stuff, just like you were about to mention, the Ultimate X matches, fuck yeah. That's some good stuff. Right now, too?
The Women's Division.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
The Knockouts, yeah. Yeah. I know ROH tried to do a little bit with the Women of Honor. That really never got up off of the ground. But
it's still running and jumping. It's trying to fly. It's just it realizes it's got arms and not wings.
Yeah. But you got to give the nod to Impact.
Have you seen Maria Manic wrestle?
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about her. Obviously, she's attractive. But watch her wrestle.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, Ring of Honor is like, man. it's an interesting little thing there because there wasn't a lot of storylines. It was just a lot of badass wrestling.
And there was a lot of really terrible production.
Ugh. You'd have to redub all half the entrance music because it's like copyrighted music from bands and shit. And you'd have to redo all the – and then the sound quality, like half the shit wasn't mic'd right.
You get more bang for your buck with Impact because they actually had TV. ROH had that ROH on HDNet for like a half a year, and it was good.
They got Adam Cole stuff.
It was promising.
They got Red Dragon stuff. They got
Matt Bennett.
They got Roderick Strong stuff.
Yeah,
they got Mike Bennett.
It was promising. But if you want to compare that to
they got Nakamura stuff.
You want to compare that to all of the TNA TV Impact episodes? You got to give the nod to Impact.
Interesting.
If you want to talk about library, make money off of a library, there's more bang for your buck for real good produced already for TV with TNA.
Agreed. I want the argument to be closer than it really is.
It ain't.
But it's not.
It ain't.
There's a couple. There's several diamonds, but there's a lot of coal.
There's a lot in of rough. That
Ring of Honor,
yeah.
And again, Arnold's always comeback is yeah. But if a bear shits in the woods, no one's around to hear it. Did it really fart or whatever? You know, there's a lot of good stuff in TNA and Impact that people just for whatever reason never saw it. If they would have seen it now, fuck. Yeah, it's definitely Impact, hands down. I tried my best not to end the show with WWE, but guess what we're going to end the show with? It's TLC. Oh, TLC is this Sunday. I tried, guys. I tried. The next one will be better.
All right, WWE, what do we got?
Anticipation level for Buddy Murphy against Aleister Black.
8.5.
Nine.
I know the match is going to be badass. I'm really done with Alistair's knock on my door bullshit. Like, all right, yeah, he already knocked on your door. Calmate. Like, go fucking wrestle now. He already, okay, you're done. Yeah, quit talking about it. He knocked on my door. Well, yeah, bitch, you were asking for somebody to knock on your door for such a long time. Okay, yeah, go luchar. Dale.
Dale gas.
Dale gas. So I'm over the fucking story, right? Just please get into wrestling. You lost such a big opportunity with the knock on my door, knock, 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 let me in. That could have been gold, but it's not gold anymore, and that shit is now cold. That iron is not hot. That iron is frigid. So, no. Let's have this match. Let them do whatever they do, and then stop talking about people knocking on your goddamn door and just go to fucking creative and be like, hey, man, can I have a match tonight? Like, that's all you have to do.
I'm at a 9.
Okay.
I've got Aleister Black winning. The build to this has been pretty good. Not so much the content, but because I already know from the moment you teased me the content that what I'm going to get, I think, is going to be good.
Okay.
Buddy Murphy's is up there, man. I hate the fact that they flip-flopped him. In this year, he started as a heel. He had a summer of babyface respectability, and now he's back to being a dick.
Yeah.
You know, it's God damn. But I've got Aleister Black winning. I hope it's good. I want to enjoy it. And to your point, I want this to be a huge change in Aleister's character. Okay. I want Aleister Black in the next 6 weeks to be Steve Austin 1998. He's tired of people knocking on his door. He wants to be in a match where there's 29 other people already waiting for him. And he's going to lead by example and start blackmassing fools.
Okay.
Just like Steve Austin ran into the ring and stunnered Jeff Jarrett and then did the strut. Or stunnered people left and right to where when Aleister's music hit, everybody stopped what the fuck they were doing to turn around to get a piece of Steve Austin. Mm. You know, that's what I want this Aleister Black to do. I don't want him to – I'm not saying I want him to fucking win the thing, but change his character that way. And actually him, instead of being – the transporter waiting for the call, him to be the professional and just start assassinating fools.
Yeah. I just want him to be a respectable citizen again. And what I mean by that is, like, that's kind of what he was about. He wasn't a heel. He wasn't a babyface. If you earned his respect, you earned his respect. And he wrestled by his own code and pick a fight with me, knock on my door. That has nothing to do with the character that you nurtured and built in NXT. That's a complete left turn at Albuquerque from what he actually was. Yeah. In NXT, he was like, yeah, I'll wrestle you. And we'll do good. And I'll sit there calmly, let you do the first mistake, and then I'll overtake you. And you know what? I'll finish you. Prove that you are worthy of respect. And then you know what? Live in infamy, Velveteen Dream.
That's it. Because you know how good the character is. And they put him in a different spinoff, and he's just like fumbling his thumbs.
Yeah. That was a character that was. Like, you saw psychology behind what he did. Yeah, he lived by his own code. He lived by his own rules. He didn't care if he was a babyface or a heel. In his own mind, not every man is truly good. Not every man is truly evil. And he lives how he wants to live.
Threaten the line.
Yeah.
Who you got winning?
I would like to see Aleister Black win, but I could see Murphy coming out with it. Murphy's winning.
Tell me if you heard this one before. The New Day defend the tag titles against the Revival. SmackDown.
I don't give any shits. SmackDown tag team titles held by the New Day. Okay, great. Kofi's getting fucked. And and Xavier's not around.
And that's the thing that's hurting me.
You know, it's like, okay, I don't care. Against the Revival, great. I care even less now. Four. New Day's winning.
I'm at a four. I had the Revival winning. Why not? It's inconsequential to me.
Okay.
Rusev versus Lashley in a chairs match.
Six? I mean, I got a little bit of interest in it because it's Lashley and it's Rusev, and I really, 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 really like Rusev, and I still kind of wish and hope and pray that WWE could find that same impact to Lashley that we had 3 years ago that they haven't been able to fucking find. But this storyline has been trash. The storyline's been awful. I get it that it's a push for both of these guys and good for them that now they have fucking TV time, but oh, God, I fucking hate this story. So yeah, for a match that could have been billed as like something that would get my attention to where I would be at an 8 or a 9 or a 10, it's at a 6 because the story is just garbage. Garbaggio, I say.
I'm gonna preface this by saying I wanna watch the match because I've never seen bell to bell Rusev versus Lashley. My anticipation for this match is at a
0.
None. Lana's been botching lines left and right. Unless I'm missing Total Divas and they're actually legit going through a divorce. Now, if I'm missing it, then I understand. Then that goes back to another fault that I'm not watching another hour of wrestling television to be informed of something that I need to be told on the 3 hours that you're already getting on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
You know, it's gross. It's gross. But it leads to the bigger problem. Detour, tangent, real quick. People from the outside looking in can make it very easy for them to give them ammunition for them to say, oh, you're an AEW guy. You go to fucking All In and Double or Nothing, and you're driving next week to fucking Corpus for Dynamite. You bought tickets for Dynamite in Austin. After you said last year you weren't doing that shit. I got it. I understand. When you go on YouTube and you see that the most viewed clip of the week that WWE has provided are the segments of Lana and Rusev and Lashley, just like during the summer, the most watched segments of the week were Goldberg and Undertaker for that god-awful match. I've said it a couple of times, but I think now I'm having more ammunition for my argument that this is not a show directed to me. There might be 10 or 15, maybe 20 good minutes. Well, I'll take it back. 30 good minutes out of 5 hours of Raw and SmackDown. That's not enough for me to sit through 5 hours just for 30 good minutes of television. This show's not directed towards me. I'm not hating on anybody that continues to watch WWE. I like a lot of wrestlers that are there. I'm happy for wrestlers that are there making money. You know, it's the company that we grew up watching,
right?
For the most part.
Yeah.
If you lived under the border, then you watched AAA or CMLL, but still you knew what WWF or WWE was, you know, and people would still aspire. Even now that there's competition, there will always be people that want to go to WWE because they grew up wanting to be WWE, not growing up wanting to be an AW, not growing up wanting to be in New Japan, but in the WWE. So they're still going to get as awesome, great talent. That show is not for me.
You still get people like ACH who says, you know what, fuck this company, whatever. And then a few tweets later, a couple of days later, well, still my goal was always be a WWF superstar. Like, yeah.
I have the first paycheck. It's framed. It's hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Like, congrats.
Okay. You know, but
and now he's in MLW.
Is he?
Good for him.
Did he get signed?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Way to swerve us thinking that he's quitting wrestling and turning into like the Kanye of wrestling and just like talking shit about everybody and everything and how he's like Chick-fil-A, the number one with lemonade and all that shit.
ACH, the offer still stands, man. If you want to come on this show, talk to us again.
Heel yeah, baby.
We've talked Heel to you yeah. like twice, three times.
I tried to get his gamer tag live on the air when we recorded and he's like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
Maybe this time they'll give it to me.
But dude, talk to us, man.
Yeah, man, that show's just not directed to me. I still watch NXT. I love NXT.
NXT is directed to you.
NXT is WWE. It's just the niche. I prefer something that I believe is geared more towards me. You know, yeah. that's what NXT is. That's what AEW is. I couldn't make up my mind. Apparently, a lot of people didn't either because they tied for the ratings this week, 778,000. Oh, really? So they both literally tied yesterday. So it's good for both of them. They both lost viewers, but they're still up there. They're still going.
And when you say me, you basically mean lifelong wrestling fan, straight up smart mark, right?
Smarter now than I was when I was younger. But at the same time, there wasn't a lot of options then.
Okay.
You know, back in the 90s, I watched both WWE and WCW. You know, now that I know what Ring of Honor is, now that I know I watched the Ring of Honor stuff, I'll watch everything. But eventually, the stuff that I like more is the stuff I'm going to watch more. And lately, I find myself watching a lot more of AEW, NXT, New Japan. And I'm trying to start to get into MLW some. So.
And see, I'm AEW, NXT, and Impact a little bit.
But you still watch Raw and SmackDown for mostly because that's what you grew up watching.
But also,
and the
it's,
show.
It's this show. But also, honestly, bro, it's background noise on Mondays and Fridays. I'm like sitting here playing my little jueguitos on
but
my
game. But
you're
telling yourself you're watching it because it's there in front of you and you're in its presence.
Yeah. It's there. But I'm out here playing my jueguito.
It's like you're cheating on it, but you're cheating on it with porn in your hand. So it doesn't really count.
So, right? Hector.
Yeah,
Hector just joined us.
God damn, it took you forever.
Forever? Did he have his little kickball
match? I'm putting him on blast. The Sunday after Christmas, are you going to be with us?
Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Damn. I would put Arnold on blast, but I doubt he's even watching.
Who you got winning, Rusev versus Lashley, by the way?
Hector says yes.
Yes!
Lashley,
Lashley.
Right, Lashley, to keep the feud going for whatever god awful reason.
I need to make sure I word this correctly because what I see on the screen is what I think is happening.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt against The Miz for the WWE Championship. I saw the segment. Miz was in the ring. Worried about Daniel Bryan. Bray Wyatt's on the screen with a Firefly Funhouse, teasing him with the family picture. And then backstage, when The Miz sees the picture there with Bray Wyatt inserted in it, Bray Wyatt, Mr. Rogers Bray Wyatt, attacked The Miz.
Right.
Remember with the thing with Daniel Bryan, when the lights went out and Sami Zayn went, fuck this. That was The Fiend that beat up on. So again, it's confusing. Is it Bray Wyatt or is it The Fiend against The Miz?
I don't know.
Let's go with the Bray Wyatt then.
Okay.
Mr. Rogers, Bray Wyatt against The Miz for the Universal title. Anticipation.
Three.
Oh, okay.
Three. A respectable three, but still a three nonetheless.
What is it?
This feud isn't supposed to be against The Miz. The Fiend tore open the ring, dragged Daniel Bryan underneath the ring, and started pulling out tufts of hair. What the fuck happened to D-Bry? Did he pull all his hair out? Where is D-Bry? I don't give two goddamn shits if he's fighting The Miz or Zack Ryder or Dolph Ziggler or whoever. No. I want to see what's going on with him and D-Bry. This shit with The Miz, that's a fucking placeholder. So
then why are you giving it a three?
Well, the reason why I'm giving it a three is because, it might still be kind of an okay match, maybe. I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see where they're going, because the only little bridge between Miz and D-Bry is the fact that they've been rivals all this time. But
now, I respect you.
Now one is the face and the other is kind of maybe the face, and that hasn't really happened before where they're like,
because both of our daughters are named Martha.
Right. So, so
why did you say that name?
Maybe. So the match will probably be all right. And maybe there's something that's going to interesting come from that. But I just think it might be a red herring kind of placeholder spoiler bullshit so that we could see Daniel Bryan. Now,
the new Daniel or the old Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Or the dragon Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So, like, we have.
Because we had
the Wyatt D-Bry. Remember? He was a Wyatt.
And they show that clip.
He was a Wyatt. When he said,
I lost family, and it's Rowan Harper and D-Bry.
Yeah. He was a Wyatt. So is he going to just show up with none of his hair because The Fiend pulled it all out and he's not going to be hairy, go green, save the earth guy, but just now The Fiend's lackey? Or is he going to be, the dragon? We got The Fiend and the dragon? Like, what's happening here?
I like this theory that I read on Reddit. I don't know how the fuck I lit up on Reddit. Where, like, Bray Wyatt's flexing, The Fiend's flexing the pimp hand. He went like that to Finn Balor and turned his clock back into the prince. And then he turned his pimp hand and turned Seth Rollins back into the douchebag Tyler Black. And now he did this pimp hand with Daniel Bryan and he lost all his hair. Who knows what Daniel Bryan we're going to get now? We get a remix of the Final Countdown and we get American Dragon Daniel Bryan. And now what the fuck is he going to do with the pimp hand with The Miz? He's going to come back out with a fucking fedora again? And tea with Morrison?
Hector Reyes.
I'm at a five for this match just out of curiosity. Because if it's Mr. Rogers Bray Wyatt, then it has to be in like not red lighting, right?
God, I hope so.
Which brings another wrinkle to this. So what if Bray Wyatt loses the heavyweight title? Does that mean The Fiend still carries his title? Is he still considered champion because The Fiend never lost the title?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you go ask The Fiend?
You want to turn off the lights? We'll do that thing with the...
You just go into the mirror.
Oh, we're not at your house. Your house, you flick with the...
Hector Reyes has a theory. He says, I have a theory about Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is facing The Miz because The Miz never crossed Bray Wyatt before. The Fiend will only come out to people that... cross Bray before. Okay, so we're going to see the new demon Daniel Bryan. So I guess he's saying that it'll probably be Mr. Rogers Bray and not The Fiend Bray. Okay.
Interesting. I got The Fiend winning. I mean, I got Bray Wyatt winning.
I got Bray Wyatt winning too.
I make it easier for you. I have The Miz losing.
Yeah, because there's no way that you're going to leave that hanging Chad there with Daniel Bryan and just like forget about that.
Roman Reigns against Baron Corbin in a TLC match.
Boy. What the hell are you doing?
Zero. Wow. I'm at about a three for this match.
What's keeping you from a zero?
I I still appreciate the effort that Baron Corbin's doing. I don't think he liked the position that he's in right now, but he's just doing the best with what he has. Oddly enough, this is how sick I am. I would, because it's a TLC match. TLC matches usually have something hanging. So my anticipation would be at a 10 if there was like a can of dog food hanging and the winner fed it to the loser.
Oh, Lord.
Of course, LOL, Roman wins. Burner. Burner.
Yeah, Roman wins. Roman's winning. Who was in on that jumping? It was Corbin, Ziggler, and...
Corbin and Ziggler.
Wasn't there another one?
I thought it was Rude.
Was it Rude?
No! Corbin had like six lackeys carry that freaking like chair that he was in, and the lackeys were the ones that were beaten up.
Okay.
That's what that was.
All right.
Yeah.
If you pay attention to the pictures that are hanging, Showman was attacked by the Fiend, but not in the picture, not in a picture frame hanging.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Okay, Hector. Bro. Yeah, sure.
Hopefully.
I just thought he crossed out all of them, everyone that he put pimp slap on.
Hopefully. The main event of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Another TLC match between Becky and Charlotte teaming against the Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Team Championship.
Eight.
Explain.
If there was any inkling that maybe the Kabuki Warriors could lose this and we have unlikely duo, you know, tag champs,
maybe I'd be
at like a 9 or a 10, but Becky and Charlotte ain't winning this shit.
You sure? You were not bringing back the Becky Two Belt shirts?
No.
The enemy of my enemy is my Bukkake?
No. Mm-hmm. This is opportunity to push the Kabuki Warriors. Kabuki Warriors are winning. It's an 8.
Friction between Becky and Charlotte, and then we get another match between Becky and Charlotte?
Probably, or later on down the line, or whatever.
Becky's still claiming that she has one debt to collect, and I'm assuming that's...
I came to collect! That's not Leo, Rush.
Avenging the loss she took to Asuka at the Royal Rumble early in the year? Maybe? And maybe this forwards that, and we get the rematch again at this Royal Rumble. I'm at a 8. I'm at an 8.
Sate.
It's an 8, dude. Okay, I take it back. I'm at an 8 if this ends the show.
Okay.
You know?
This isn't going to end the show. It's a tag match, dude.
I hope so. I'm not ending a TLC match with fucking Roman and Roman and fucking Corbin with nothing hanging. TLC matches, you got to... if it's not the main event, I'm at a fucking 5 and it's Kabuki Warriors. I mean, if you want to make an effort to highlight the tag team, especially this is the best that they've looked. They actually have a damn good theme song. They actually have ditched all the colors and the pirate shit, all the semen stuff. No, these are two angry Asians that are looking to beat the shit out of people. Yeah. And they cuss in Japanese and all that. Oh, and they got like the crazy bitch syndrome. Like they look 50% sexier because they look like they're like pissed, you know. Io, Kairi, Asuka, and then Dakota Kai. Because Dakota Kai was like,
that little tease in her hair. They tease something else.
Ladies. Mm. But yeah, that needs to end the show, bro.
There are rumors that Becky is not happy at being in the tag division. What do you mean being in the tag division? It's one match over the course of 2 weeks. If Becky's really upset about that, get over it. It's just fucking 2 or 3 weeks.
And you're still champion.
Yeah.
But I can understand her frustration because if booking could only pay attention to one thing at a time, and they're the ones that are causing Becky to lose all the momentum that she herself made last year, I would be pissed if I was in her shoes. I would have Becky pull the whole CM Punk. If you're not going to give me something to do, I'm going to give you something to do. CM Punk walked in the office one day. Here's the next 6 months of work, and I'm putting together the Straight Edge Society, and that's how that happened. And then we're on SmackDown, so nobody watched SmackDown, so he can get away with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And this might be the time where Becky needs to, like, man up.
Like,
they ain't doing you shit. You give them shit. You know, so overall, the whole TLC,
Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. I'm at a 6. What are you at? 5?
5.
5? Yeah. 6.
Stick to the rivers and the lakes that they're used to.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you just do fucking TLC reference?
Yes, we did. Did y'all talk about the suspensions of the releases that happened in WWE? Well, Hector,
it would have been a lot easier to transition if your bitch ass was here. How about we end the show with Push, Keep, Fire?
Yes! Yes! Push, Keep, Fire.
Explain the rules.
Push, Keep, Fire is something that we had a long, long time ago when Travis was still on the show, where basically we take three wrestlers and or tag teams, and we say, fantasy-wise, who on your own personal roster would you push
which
to the next level, you know, keep around at the same level that they're currently at, and who would you just fire from your fantasy company altogether?
Any casual people that are watching, it's the wrestling equivalent to fuck, marry, kill.
There you go. So, who do we got up on the chopping block today, sir?
Hector, do you want to tell the audience? Oh, wait. So it's the last three releases that happened over the week, yes, which was the Ascension as a team.
As a team, we're counting them together.
Sin Cara.
Yep.
Well, Hunico, Sin Cara, and Luke Harper.
Okay.
Who would you push?
I would push Harper to the fucking moon. Harper was done dirty. Harper has a certain charisma that oozes out of him despite the fact that all he wore was a dirty wife beater and some jeans. He is flashy as fuck if you give him time to develop his character. And I don't mean flashy like he does flippy dippies and shit in the ring. No, I don't mean that. He's got some sort of personality to him. And I don't think WWE allowed him to actually have the fucking personality. So I'm going to let him do it. And I'm going to push him to the fucking moon. And let that little duck get his wings and fly.
I'm going to do completely different.
Okay.
I am going to be pushing Luke Harper to the grave.
Oh!
I would do a new generation of Bruiser Brody with him. Scare the fuck out of people. Be the brawler. Be the guy that bloodies Abdullah the Butcher. Be the hardcore guy, but that can also mat wrestle. That can also gator wrestle you. That can also actually last 20, 25 minutes in a match. I would have him be the next second coming of Bruiser Brody. That's my guy. There's a lot that's.
Well, I mean,
it's weird because the one thing
that was the name that he had before he came,
Brody Lee.
Yeah, right. Because he was,
The one. It's weird that Vince let a guy like this go because the one thing he covets more than anything are big muscular guys. He's pretty fit for his size and his shape and his age.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if maybe you want to trim the beard a little. But other than that, I've got him as being my new strongman, my new mean Mark Calloway, you know, my fucking Matt Morgan at his peak in TNA.
Matt Morgan was so wasted. He was wasted. They could have done a lot more with him.
Fuck, man. Who are you keeping?
This is a little bit tougher. I'm going to keep the Ascension. I'm going to keep the Ascension. They proved to me what they can be in NXT. They were over like Rover. If I keep them around, I think eventually they'll kind of, maybe get a little bit of their swagger back. I'm not pushing them, but I'll let them do their thing, and then maybe they could kind of figure out who they were before main roster buried and ruined them.
My only beef with the Ascension isn't so much of their talent, is I think that I believe they did a pretty decent job character acting with the characters that were given. I don't know if I could see them as anything else. Mm. Like, I don't see them in plain clothes or in just like colorful gear or them pretending to be something else. Or if this is them being who they are, I don't know if they would be accepted in another organization doing the same shit that they did in NXT and WWE.
Remember how hilarious they actually were in the Brizongo Files, though.
Their comedic timing was spot on. Oddly enough, I didn't want it to go this way. I think that we're a generation now. It's pretty much always been this way in pro wrestling. The money is in singles wrestling.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need a team that's established enough to get the next crop of teams ready. And I think the Ascension, these guys, Conor and Victor, they're, and I'm not a wrestler, so I'm not saying this as an offense because I don't understand the term, but they're good hands. Like, they're guys that can, like, that can train these new kids. You know, people that, it's funny, it doesn't always work, but I take the step, like, oh, if you were coaching under Bill Belichick, you had to have learned something. So if you went through NXT, you had to have learned something you can teach to the younger kids or the next generation or the people that you're working with right now in some other corporation.
Yeah.
So I would keep the Ascension, which sucks because, man, Kunikko was fucking good. Even before the Sin Cara replacement after Mr. C's huge ass signing from Mexico, Mr. C's is now Sin Cara, no face. And then after like 6 months, he's like, okay, vale su chinga su pinche madre, pinche WWE, su pinche madre también. And went back to Mexico, but they had the mask, they had a character, they had a theme, they had already invested enough into this. Oh, let's bring in fake Taker. Let's bring in fake Diesel, fake Razor. Let's put in another Mexican. We all look the same.
Yeah.
If we were to shave and cut our hair, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all look the same.
Yeah, we look the same.
And so we'll get that Mexican. Oh, wait, he has that same tattoo as Hurricane.
Sin Cara con tatuaje.
Con tatuaje. It wasn't Sin Cara. It was con marcas.
Con marcas.
And then his grandkids will be mil marcas.
Mil marcas.
And hijo de mil marcas.
Mil Marcas Jr.
So,
and hijo de su pinche Mil Marcas. Oh, Lord. Our Spanish speaking fans are laughing their asses off here, but I'm sure all the white folk were like, what?
Chingas de madre, los pinches marihuanos que fitna. And we're saying this to our own kind. Like, we're firing the Mexican. We're no better.
Where's my red hat?
By proxy, I would have to eliminate Sin Cara.
This was a tough call for me because I know you brought up all the history of Mr. C's and Sin Cara. He was the fucking botcher, right? Mr. C's.
You know? Don't botch me, Mystico. Bro.
But, you know, he was the guy that was all about the botches, right?
Yeah.
Único wasn't that bad when it was Único and Camacho, you know.
Camacho, which wound up being one of the Tamatanga, I think.
Is that?
It was Camacho. Well, Camacho. Yeah. Yeah.
But Único wasn't that bad. And when he donned the mask, all of a sudden the botches kind of went away. But the stink of the botches of the other guy was still in that mask. And Triple H, who was the one that was like, hey, we're going to sign this guy from Mexico and we're going to push him to the moon and we're going to give him mood lighting and vignettes for like 3 months before he debuts. Well, he lost confidence in it, and I think Vince never had confidence in it. So the Sin Cara character was dead in the water, and Único never had a chance. That being said, Único was a little underwhelming, both as Único and Sin Cara. So, man, this was tough for me, man. I don't want to say fuck that guy and we're going to fire him, because I kind of wanted to keep him around for some of the same reasons I wanted to keep around the Ascension. But the Ascension edges them out because they were proven to be supremely over. We never got that out of Único, whether it was Único or Sin Cara. He was never really fucking over.
And the other thing that helps me sleep at night,
yeah,
is
over firing another Mexican. Yes.
The Ascension style was fresh, but it blends in with the new generation of kids that are coming up.
Okay.
I don't think that Único or whatever the Hispanic person's name or Latin person's name that's under the mask, I don't think he can keep up with any of the Will Ospreys.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Sin Cara, Mystico, Mysticis, whatever you want to call him, he was touted as being the next great high flyer. And in Mexico, he was. But he couldn't get that American style, so he just kind of fucked everything up. Unico, he wasn't really, hey, I'm going to be a high flyer. He just like, okay, well, I'm in the gimmick of a high flyer, so I guess I'll do a splash.
I'll start learning.
Like, I guess. Like, but that wasn't his style, especially when he was the dude in the cholo shorts and a fucking lowrider bicycle.
Yeah.
You know, he was
a superstar.
Yeah, he was a dude who was kind of a brawler, kind of a mat wrestler, and that's it. So when he put on the mask of a high flyer, especially when he was teamed up with what's his name? The other lucha guy with the hat or the mask that had the tail.
Kalisto. Lucha Dragons.
Kalisto wrestled all around him. Mm-hmm. Kalisto was the guy that actually kept that Lucha Dragons gimmick and kept that fast-paced high flyer style going. He was the Jeff, whereas Unico was the Matt, you know? So
nothing wrong with Matt.
Nothing wrong with it, but on your own, it's not as sexy.
No.
You know?
Now, if they would have let Kalisto go because he can't cut a promo in any language to save his life,
right?
He can hang with Ospreay, with fucking the Bucks, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Unico, that guy, I don't see it. Yeah. So he had to go.
Yeah.
Now, since they're all let go, this game's pointless. So I'm going to spit out a different question to you.
Okay.
Where do you see each of them going?
Okay. Poof. I think Harper or Brody Lee, whatever you want to fucking call him, he's smart on him
to copyright that name.
He has the fucking pick of the litter. He go where the fuck he want to go. If he wants to sign with AEW, he sign with AEW. He wants to sign with ROH, great. He wants to sign with New Japan, great. I don't know where he's going to land, but the fucking future doors are wide open for him. He can go where the fuck he wants. I would like to see him maybe in AEW because I think AEW is the best product out there, but that's just me, my selfish self, the guy that wants to push him. Or where will he get pushed? Yeah, AEW, you know, because I'll see it. That's me. What about you for Harper, Brody, whatever you want to call him?
Without a doubt, New Japan.
Japan!
Stick him against Bad Luck Fale, rising star this year, Lance Archer, U.S. champ.
Yeah.
Archer and Brody Lee. It's easy for me to pick out the big guys to go up against, but he can hang out. Dude, how interested would you be in Brody against Tanahashi?
How interested would you be seeing Brody in the G1 Classic fighting all them motherfuckers? The big ones, the little ones, the technical ones, the brawler ones, the strong style ones. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
What the G1 did for Archer this year, I would like the G1. I would hate to wait that long.
Right.
But give him time to get accustomed to the culture.
He'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, exactly. Stick him in the G1 next year. Oh, he's going to be that guy where everybody's going to be like, who the fuck let this guy go?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Do you think he could develop and cultivate a personality? Because that was my biggest thing. I think he has untapped fucking personality.
I don't think he was given enough time in his singles run. Remember, this guy's an Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
With a black shirt, that meant he was a face.
At least it wasn't black tiny whities, tiny blackies.
He had nothing to lose because he carried everything in a black trash bag. He wasn't given enough time to dig himself a nice little rut of character. So he's like fresh. So wherever he goes, he has a clean slate to do whatever he wants. If he tries it and fails, it doesn't matter because there really isn't much to compare it against.
Okay.
On his own, you know, especially since they're still doing the Wyatt stuff now with Eric doing this crazy thing with like the baby head or whatever in the goddamn cage and Bray going blah, 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 and Braun, blah, 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 all that shit. So I think, I'd give him a chance with whatever he wants to do.
Okay.
How about Ascension?
Ascension. I can see Ascension going to Impact.
Really?
Impact has a pretty good but not overstated tag team division. I think if it was AEW, that's too obvious because, oh, God, they're fucking tag teams. They want to be all about the tag teams, right? They want to respect tag teams just as much as they respect singles, right? That's part of their mission statement, and it's partly because of the Bucks. But I think there's going to be too much fucking traffic in that tag division for them to really shine. But who does have a pretty good tag division that needs a little bit of filling out Impact. I want to see them against the Rascals. I want to see them against Team Canada.
Oh, the North?
Yeah, yeah, Team Canada. The North, yeah. Even OVE, the other two. Not Sammy, but the other two, you know?
The Chris brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Ooh. Yeah, that could be nice.
And they've lost Lucha Bros and they've lost LAX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need some replenishing. A respectable tag history. Yeah. So throw the Ascension in there.
That's an interesting pick.
Yeah.
I would have, you know what? It's a tricky hook to bait, because anytime a guy from WWE is gone, the first instinct is, oh, AEW is the new WCW. They're taking everybody. The door's open. It's a fucking revolving door. Into the truck. Into the truck. But if there's any the Dark Order needs some legitimizing, bro. And if you put the Ascension there, they would fit in well. Brandy's talking about this fucking Nightmare Collective, which I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah,
maybe add some penises to that pussy party and bring the Ascension in there. Then you still got the Butcher and the Blade. I mean, how many fucking sickos are here?
Can we pause?
Sidetrack. God, I'm so happy for Andy Williams. He's a rhythm guitarist for Every Time I Die. He's the Butcher.
Oh, I didn't.
Back on track.
I want to stay on that track just for a little bit. I've been pretty glowing in my reviews for AEW, but I don't fucking pull no punches.
They got flaws. Their women's division needs meat.
Dark Order, the Nightmare Collective, the fact that 3D. we have Darby Allin and Havoc. They're both kind of the same guy. Like you have too many factions. Even factions altogether. Dark Circle.
Inner Circle,
and even the Elite. You have too many fucking factions in AEW already, you know? And then on top of the fact that you have a lot of guys with the, I'm twisted and face painted and I'm dark and I'm brooding. You have too many people like that too. There's too much.
Too many Batmans, not enough Bruce Waynes.
Yeah. You got too many Batmans and not enough fucking Flashes. Or Green Arrows. Or,
Lanterns.
Yeah, like you have nothing but like.
Travis would have appreciated that if he was sitting somewhere in this room.
You got Batman, you got Nightwing, you got
Batgirl, Batwoman, Robin.
Yeah, Robin. Oh, and you have the Teen Titans with
Jim
Batman.
Gordon's like, got his own suit.
Okay, yeah.
Damn. And then Titans también, which is even darker.
Bring in Spawn. God damn. Like, shit. Like, does it have to all be DC? Like, fuck, man. I'm going to go to the store, go to a comic book store. I want more than just DC. Chingaway. I mean, it's like
I can't wait to play Spawn in Mortal Kombat 11.
Too many factions. I love them. I fucking love them. Every time I see them, I'm like, oh, I love the Jungle Express.
Oh, Jurassic Express.
I love them. Oh, but
next week is going to be fire. There's
another faction. And then SCU. That's three of them. That's another faction. Like, y'all got too many fucking factions. Sorry. Where were we?
Doesn't New Japan, though, also? And how often do we bitch about that? Bitch about that?
I don't bitch about that much, but do they have that many? They Chaos, have Chaos,
Suzuki Ingo Gun. Bernables. Chaos, Ingo Bernables, Suzuki Gun, Bullet Club, still, even though you don't want to admit it, Jay White.
No, Jay.
There's got to be at least one or two more. What's his face next week? Help me out.
Chaos?
I said Chaos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
I think that the list ends there at four, but AEW... AEW, we rattled off at least five. SCU, Jurassic Express, Inner Circle, The Dark Order, Nightmare Collective, The Elite.
And Jurassic Express.
Well, I said Jurassic Express. Okay, that's six.
Yeah.
Oh, and MJF and Wardlow, which, I mean, yeah, they're a team. They're not a faction. But still, the fucking gang warfare on that show is a little bit too much. I'm sorry. Well, who were we putting where? We were talking about Ascension. I put him in Impact. Where would you
put him? I put him in AEW.
AEW?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Único. Sin Cara now. Where would you stick this guy? Can I start by saying I'll tell you where I won't put him? I won't put him, you goddamn fucking racists, in AAA. Not putting him in Mexico.
I'll go one step further. Yeah, I wouldn't put him in Mexico.
Yeah,
I would actually. You know what? Now that you think about it, I might actually reunite him with Tama Tonga. Have him in the Bullet Club. Bring back the freaking Dickies and the wife beater and the superstars and the ankle socks. Why not? I'm sure he'll fit right in with fucking Kenta and the Tonga brothers and fucking Jay White. Won't take long to make a douche out of him.
I have
with Fale and fucking Haku and shit.
I have an interesting pick. But this might be kind of shady. Stick him in MLW. All the scrubs
are just about to say that.
All the other scrubs.
I was about to say what you just said.
All the other scrubs are in MLW. On. Stick him over there.
Pillman Jr. is not a scrub. Teddy, not Teddy Hart. Fucking.
Teddy Hart's a scrub.
Davey Boy Smith Jr.
He's not a
Harry
scrub.
Smith is not a scrub.
I mean,
Hammerstone is not a scrub. Filthy Tom Lawler is not a scrub. The Von Erich boys are not scrubs. It's just, it kind of feels like the Alan the Misfit toys. It's like the last place you look.
They're scrub-ish. At the very least, they're scrub-ish. At least that.
No,
at least
scrubs are wrestlers that don't get any money from me. And I'm paying MLW, so there's something there.
All right.
The Suicidal Samoan? Come on, bro. All right.
There's something there, but they're not even quite there on that level with like ROH and Impact and Lord knows AEW.
Yeah. So, yeah. We got people to play along. Robert Medlin, Push Ascension, Keep Harper, Fire Sin Cara. Chris Foreman, what Robert said. Andrew Williams, I know, very, very, yeah. Andrew Williams, Push Harper, Keep Sin Cara, Fire Ascension.
Okay.
Jason Nguyen. Keep push Luke Harper, keep Hunico, fire Connor and the other dude. Jeff Bilheims, push Harper, fire Sin Cara, keep Ascension. Daryl Hughes, push Harper, keep Ascension, fire Sin Cara. Dylan Robert Howland III, I honestly forgot the Ascension were still employed. So sad.
Did anybody not push Harper?
Robert Medlin pushed Ascension. Everybody else pushed Harper.
Okay. Wow.
But not everybody fired Sin Cara, which is also interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
So, question. Since we had all these Hassan chops where people were released, what actually happened to ACH? He wasn't released. Is he still under contract? I mean, he said he signed with MLW, where all the scrubs are.
Maybe this was separate, or maybe this happened long ago. There's so much that
I don't
with the
ever
stuff
remember seeing anything saying from WWE that we've come to terms and conditions and blah, 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 so long in your future endeavors. I didn't see anything like that. As far as I know, that motherfucker's still under contract.
We'll have to follow that up.
But then again, he did quit wrestling 2 days ago on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what, bro? We need to talk. Albert Hardy.
Junior.
We need to talk, man. We need to talk. Just come on here. Let us chit-chat.
Come on. So how much beaver tranquilizer did Robert Roode take for that mustache? Because he got let go for 30 days violation of the wellness policy.
Oh. I mean, I guess.
And
enough.
So did one of the Colons. I didn't know there were still a urinary tract.
Primo? Epico? One of the two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not moved by either of these news stories.
Yeah, like it doesn't move the needle for me at all. Like, okay, Robert Roode. Well, you know about my feelings.
Not that needle and not that needle.
You know my feelings about Robert Roode. I'm not too fond of the
Bobby!
Yeah.
So, Wabba Woo, the asshole.
I mean, I guess he really is trying to follow in the footsteps of Triple H.
Which means he's got 30 days to play the game. And find a $3 hole for a wife. Hey, man. 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks.
Two and a half weeks to what?
Our end of the year episode.
Oh.
We going to be cramming so much shit. Because we're going to be... I know somebody's going to want to have to talk about this, like, farewell episodes of the year for AEW. Which I will be in Corpus this Thursday for. people are going to want to talk about the two title matches from NXT that are also happening next week.
Yeah.
Maybe something happens in TLC that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
We still have two nights of Wrestle Kingdom to preview with our man Hector, who like lives off of fried rice. So you know he's going to want to doitashimashite, all that shit, you know? And the end of the year. End of the year with some sake. Are you ready, man?
No.
No? Fuck, dude.
Male
of the year, female of the year, and yes, you can vote Becky for male of the year. Tag team of the year, breakout star of the year, oh my God moment of the year, disappointment of the year, brand of the year, event of the year, which you've already casted a suggestion.
Yep.
And our match of the year. So what normally does happen is that we sit together, surrounded by food and water, mm-hmm. like common day prisoners, and we watch all these matches on our match of the year list.
Yep.
And then we sit around a table like this one here, and we press the record button, and from 2 to 3.5 hours, we wax poetic on the year in pro wrestling.
Ay, papa!
I'm bringing the tape this year. Who's got the wax?
Ay.
So, be ready, bro. We're going to put you through the ringer.
Man, I don't know if we should have the regular weekly stuff on the same episode.
So you want to do the weekly stuff first, and then we press pause, we convert the video, and then like 5 minutes later, we record separately?
I'm just saying we don't do that shit on the same night, man. That episode's going to be 4 or 5 hours long. We're previewing two nights of fucking Wrestle Kingdom. Fuck that. That needs to be a separate episode.
We'll figure something. We'll figure something out.
Our year-end episodes where it's just year-end stuff, those are usually 3 hours.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, which for anyone that doesn't own a phone or a calculator or calendar, Sunday the 29th.
Okay.
We'll be getting together to watch the matches.
Okay.
Which means I'll have to give Hector my address. Against my wishes, I will make a new friend and I will have a new friend over.
Or do it here or at HQ?
Do you have all the matches at HQ for us to watch?
Oh, no.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, technically, you could. We just need a YouTube video for Cody versus Dustin. Everything else is on New Japan or on NXT.
We'll figure it out. This is shit we should be discussing off air. We're flying by the seat of our pants, making plans on air.
Well, before we go, then.
I also have one more thing.
One more thing, huh?
One more thing. What are you doing Saturday night? You're watching some wrestling, right? You're watching Into the Fire? Is that what it is?
I'm either going to a Rockets game against the Pistons, or I will be lost in downtown Houston into some debauchery. Yeah,
Saturday. I thought Saturday was some sort of wrestling that we talked about.
Into the Fire, yeah.
Into the Fire. Yeah. You're not watching it live.
No, I'll probably watch it Sunday morning.
Well, you have another option.
Let me guess. Are you putting on a suit and the tie?
Yes, I is.
Oh, my God. I got the vapors.
I will be ring announcing at DZW this weekend.
Still trying to sink that ship,
huh? It's the second annual Tugboat Taylor tribute show.
Oh, nice.
So they're going to have a nice little tournament. Also, we're going to have
the corpse of Tugboat's going to be there, too.
Oh, God. Oh. We're going to have a match.
I bet that's what he said.
We're going to have a match that is a loser leaves DZW forever match.
Hambone, are you in it?
Hambone versus Alistair. Career's on the line here, guys. So definitely want to check that out. Also,
is Hambone selling fudge still?
Yes, he is.
Oh.
I don't know if he'll bring it this evening or this weekend. And also, the DZW Lightning Division Championship will be up for grabs, where David Duperron will defend against Sebi Mayhem, the newest member of the chess club, but now the chess club's been decimated because Duperron took out everybody, including Romeo. So the young boy is like, I'm the last one left in the village. I need to defend the village.
So when Duperron beats this kid, is he going to scream checkmate very loud?
Oh, God.
Give him that idea.
He probably will.
Give him that idea.
Okay.
And find out how he's doing. Because I haven't heard much of Duperron after he split his head at NWA over here at the DFW.
He's doing good. If you would fucking come to DZW, you would know. He's a DZW Lightning Division champion. It's in Katy, but right next door to the brand new In-N-Out Burger.
Oh!
The Elks Lodge is literally next door to the brand new In-N-Out Burger.
You know the weight of my heart.
I know. Food.
Match of the year candidates as of now. Styles versus Rollins from Money in the Bank. Cody versus Dustin from AEW. Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks, also from AEW. Ospreay versus Takagi from the finals of the Super Juniors. Takagi versus Ishii from the G1 Climax. Donovan Dijakovic against Keith Lee, part 3 from NXT Television. And Jushin Thunder Liger against Minoru Suzuki from Kings of Wrestling. Those are our matches as of now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Only 7. We had 10 last year.
No main roster WWE.
Styles versus Rollins.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
We got a little bit of everything this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You got 2.5 weeks.
Oh, God.
Be ready.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have some pizzas to bake in the oven.
Yeah, we'll try to get ready. Okay. Is that a show?
Yes.
Are we done?
Hi.
All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Arigato. Gozaimasu.
In-N-Out in San Antonio and also in California before, and they're all right.
I had In-N-Out in Austin and also in California. Yeah,
you know what's better than In-N-Out?
Anything.
Well, more specifically, because you said Austin,
P. Terry's.
Oh, fuck! P. Terry's is so good! I would cheat.
Every time I go to Austin, I stop at P. Terry's.
I would definitely cheat on Whataburger with P. Terry's.
Oh.
Yeah. I know it's that like almost Whataburger's style.
Fries are better, but I think Pete Terry's burgers are better.
Pete Terry's burgers are better.
Pete Terry's fries. It's but then the other problem is the McDonald's in Austin sell chicken biscuits.
Chicken biscuits.
I always pick up 2 chicken biscuits and I think they have that hot and spicy flavoring on them. So
hey, papa.
Just tack them together.
Oh fuck. Pete Terry's, man. It's been a while. You know what's better than Dairy Queen? Brahms. Have you ever been to a Brahms?
No.
They're North Texas, Oklahoma, middle of the country. Brahms.
Oh, man, I haven't driven up there since fucking.
Imagine Dairy Queen, but good. Burgers are bigger. Burgers are juicier. They're fresher. Their milkshakes are way better than Blizzard's.
Oh.
It's Brahms beats Dairy Queen's ass.
You're not a fan of Freddy's?
I've been to Freddy's once. They're good. I need to try them more. But yeah, they're good. See, they're custard. You know?
Yeah.
Custard. Dairy Queen is soft serve. But Brahms, that's fucking ice cream. It's ice cream. They sell the ice cream tubs too. You could go in and they have like a little general store. They sell fucking milk and, you know, cheese and all this shit. But you could also get the fucking big ass, I don't know how many gallons it is, 5 gallon tubs of their ice cream.
The big ones, like the ones they use at the fucking.
The ones that they do the scoopers out of. You could buy those. You could also buy like the 1 gallon ones, right? If you want to be a civilized
human. Yeah, but if you're from North Texas, how are you bringing that shit down here?
Well, I had it when I fucking lived in Tulsa in college. So, I mean, I just went down the street and ordered it.